a tough time in the world of pro wrestling. This Saturday, Combat Central, the entire show is going to be dedicated to Jim the Anvil Neidhart. We have some real cool guests coming on, sharing their stories of Jim. And Bruce Hart is here to share some stories of Jim the Anvil Neidhart as well. Bruce, thank you for doing this today. Really appreciate it.
Happy to oblige, and thank you for seeing fit to pay homage to Jim.
Yeah, not a problem. Again, wish we could do it under better circumstances, but it is a wrestling career and legacy that certainly needs to be talked about, especially in this city. You have been around for, I would suggest, probably all of Jim's run in professional wrestling. He goes from football and comes to Calgary. When you first lay eyes on Jim the Anvil Neidhart, this guy who holds shot put records and has played in the NFL, what was your initial thought about Jim's potential in the wrestling business?
It's funny, you know, because we had so many of those powerlifting mesomorphic types over the years, like the Bill Kazmaiers and the Ted Arcides and Tom McGee's and all these guys, almost to the point where their physical credentials weren't all that big of a deal. But the thing that really resonated with me with Jim was his personality. You know, he had the great look and all, but he had a lot of personality and charisma, you know, kind of inherent, and that tended to set him apart, you know. And I think he came in at a time when we were kind of introducing a lot of other young guys right around that time, and he kind of injected a lot of enthusiasm. Brett was included in that, and Jake Roberts and Junkyard Dog and Dynamite Kid and people like that, and they're all pretty young and hungry, and I just sort of taken over booking or matchmaking up there, and we were almost kind of phasing out a lot of these older, slower, sluggish veteran types, and Jim fit right into that, you know, and he was kind of a real team player. That was another part that always seemed to be, maybe perhaps public didn't recognize that, but Jim was always a lot of personality and enthusiasm behind the scenes, not only in Calgary but later on when he's in WWE. You know, he was always one of the guys in the dressing room that, you know, was, you know, kind of pumping everyone up, and, you know, on the road, he was always kind of a good breath of fresh air.
Yeah, you hear the stories about him here over the last few days, and in the pro wrestling business, it's very difficult. It seems to be liked by everyone, but it really feels like Jim was one of those guys who everyone just universally loved him. It feels like the personality we saw on TV was a lot similar to the good guy that was behind the scenes as well.
Yeah, and it was pretty sincere with Jim, too. You know, he was always fun. There was always good vibes in the, you know, on the road trips. He used to spend a lot of time on the road, and you'd be in these long, dreary road trips to Meadow Lake and Buffalo Narrows and places like that. And Jim was always part of that kind of camaraderie, and I think he was a huge influence, maybe not nearly as recognized back then. Everything was kind of, you know, you were what they used to call kayfabing, or keeping the fans in the dark about behind-the-scenes stuff. But Jim was kind of a huge team player. I think he maybe acquired some of that coming in from the NFL and some of that, and he seemed to be almost like a cohesive force, and I think he was a great influence on Brett, who was a little bit kind of, for want of a better term, charismatically challenged at that time or whatever. But Jim really brought out a lot of, you know, the personality, or brought it to the surface of Brett, and I think kind of instilled a lot of confidence in him when he was kind of launching that best there is, best there was, you know, kind of gambit. And Jim really kind of, he was really good at kind of making Brett feel a lot better about himself. And I think that you know, it was kind of maybe obviously unrecognized, but I know he was, you know, they'd maybe say that Brett was the heart of the Hart Foundation, but Jim was the soul of it, and he played a huge role later on when they did the Hart Foundation with Owen and Davey and Brian Pillman, you know, and that was kind of my estimation, kind of the high water mark for that whole thing, you know. And I remember when they did the big show in Calgary, the Calgary Stampede in 1997, and it was incredible, just that kind of cohesion and, you know, manifestation of personalities and charisma and talent and all like that, you know. And I think that's one reason why there's so many fond memories and such a kind of an outpouring of reaction today, you know, because of some of those things, you know. And it's certainly nice, you know, I'm down here in Florida, but it's incredible just the outpouring of love and reaction, you know, and remembering Jim, you know, in such a positive way, you know. So I've been really touched and gratified to see that kind of, you know, showing of love and support.
Yeah, no, it's been really great to see the like you said, the support for the family in this time. You mentioned the road trips there, and as someone who is not from Calgary and has driven back home to Saskatchewan on some not great roads, I can't imagine some of those road trips were the most glamorous of occasions. Do you have any stories of Jim from those long road trips across the Canadian prairies?
There was all kinds, you know. We always used to, you know, a lot of funny stuff now in retrospect. We always had the so-called heels and the faces of the bad guys and the good guys all riding in the same vehicles. But my dad had a couple of these old vehicles. I think they were old courier vans or something like that. And there was no windows or anything. And we were all suppressed in there. And Jim and this old English guy that a lot of Calgary fans would remember, but probably not outside of Calgary, a guy named J.R. Foley or John Foley, we always used to have these sing-alongs in the van. And Jim was one of the kind of the ringleaders of that. And, he used to sing this Buddy Holly song, Peggy Sue, or whatever. And that was kind of a standard in there. But in retrospect, it was a real kind of generator of kind of camaraderie, and the boys had so much fun, and it kind of, you know, permeated into what they did in the ring. You know, there was so much kind of, fun and contagious enthusiasm, and it was no accident that kind of transcended, and I think that was something that probably was pretty pervasive when Jim was working in WWE. And I heard that from many guys during, Jim was right in there at the outset of Hulkamania and all like that. And I think he was like one of those players you hear about it, and these hockey teams or football teams that have won the Stanley Cup or the Great Cup or whatever. And there's always a few of these kind of really vibrant personalities that, you know, kind of contributed to the success. And I think Jim was one of those guys, you know, not only with Brett and the Hart Foundation, but I'm sure with Hulk Hogan and Randy Savage and guys like that. You know, I many a time ran into those guys and, you know, shared perspectives with them on the road, and they all seemed universally love and kind of, you know, a lot of gratitude for Jim, just kind of being one of those behind-the-scenes catalysts that kind of made everything that much more fun and rewarding.
So now I have to ask the question, because having I didn't know Jim personally, but having seen him cut promo after promo on television for years and years and years, I never really pegged him as much of a singer. Was Jim the Anvil Neidhart a good singer? Or was he just belting him out completely out of tune on those trips?
I think he was about on a scale of 1 to 10 as a singer, maybe 0.05 or something like that, you know.
That's about what I would expect.
Nonetheless, kind of, you know, I'm sure Buddy Holly would have been rolling in his grave or high-fiving Little Richard or something like that. I'm not sure.
Well, his work in the ring meant that he wouldn't have to quit his day job for a while, as he stuck with the wrestling thing for a while. That show here in Calgary, the one where the Whole Heart Foundation against the team led by Stone Cold Steve Austin and the Legion of Doom, still talked about
Hawk and Animal and Goldust and Ken Shamrock, yeah.
That's right, yes. Still talked about today. The crowd here was, like, it's on the WWE Network for fans who haven't seen it. Absolutely go back and watch it. One of the great crowds in wrestling history. And one of the cool moments at the end where the entire family, we've seen pictures with Natalya and TJ or Tyson Kidd going into the ring as well. What was that moment like for the entire family in the city that you guys built
incredibly
up?
Incredibly kind of gratifying in its own way. You know, I know when they talk these days about JFK, the former president of the United States, they always talk about this one moment etched in, frozen in time, called Camelot, and that Canadian Stampede was kind of the equivalent of that, because it was the apex of the Heart Foundation, and it was, I think, the first pay-per-view ever in Calgary that they had ever done, and I don't know they've ever done one since, unfortunately, but the kind of, in its own way, sad element of it is not long after that, everything seemed to unravel, you know, with Brian Pillman died only a few months after that, and then the infamous and kind of asinine Montreal Screwjob transpired after that, and that kind of led to Brett leaving on acrimonious terms, and then that was kind of like the last, you know, kind of glint of, you know, glory or whatever, and it's never really kind of ever come back, you know. To some degree it has, and I've been really gratified to see the success of TJ and Natalya and Harry and all like that, but nothing ever kind of quite, you know, rose to that high level again, you know. So in that respect, it was kind of sad, but it's still an etched in time event, you know, that so-called Canadian Stampede, where the five of them were in there and at their apex with Steve Austin and friends, and then the outpouring, you know, I thought it was really cool after that match when my dad and my mom were able to kind of acknowledge, you know, the love and support of the crowd and all the kids and all like that. It was kind of just one of those special moments that you couldn't script or choreograph or anything. It just sort of, you know, happened, and it kind of really embodied the, you know, the whole thing of the Heart Foundation and all of that.
You mentioned before that when Jim came into Stampede Wrestling, you guys had had a lot of the football types and a lot of the big bodybuilders and things of that nature. Was that something that your dad really looked for in guys? Like, was he kind of enamored with the physical traits of Jim, or did they seek him out?
I think my dad, for whatever reason, always seemed to have a bit of a fascination, or I think the fact that my dad had maybe played football himself, and but he did seem to have a bit of a passion or a penchant for these football player and big bodybuilder types. Like, over the years, he had people like a guy named Doug Hepburn and another guy named Billy Graham, superstar, and even John Helton and people like that. And so I think that was kind of appealing to my dad in that respect with those big body types. But as I said before, the thing that seemed to set Jim apart was his personality and his, you know, kind of, he was kind of unconventional too. You know, he wasn't trying to copy somebody else or be a clone of Billy Graham or, you know, Wahoo McDaniels or anything like that. He was, and that was kind of the cool thing about Jim. He was, and often, I wouldn't say even often imitated, never duplicated, but he was his own thing. You know, he wasn't trying to copy somebody else, and he had a unique kind of compelling personality that kind of not only endeared him to the fans, but, you know, to the fellow wrestlers too.
Yeah, no, it really seemed like there is, in the best way possible, there was only one Jim the Anvil Neidhart, that is for sure. Lastly, we all knew him as a performer. You knew him as a performer, as well as a family member, and just as a human being. What will you remember of Jim the Anvil Neidhart?
I think I'll just remember his really vibrant, you know, personality, and you know, he was always kind of one of those kind of team player types that just seemed to you know, kind of come to the fore when things were tough, you know, when we had a lot of maybe hardship and adversity later on with some of the unfortunate, you know, events with Owen and Davey Boy and Pillman and all like that. And And Jim was always incredibly strong and, you know, kind of, just kind of, you know, helping us get through those, you know, tough times. You know, he was kind of a pretty strong pillar, as I recall, you know, and so I think those are a lot of the reasons why everybody's, you know, kind of remembering him in such a, you know, kind of a fond light right now, you know, because, you know, within the wrestling fraternity, you see all these Hulk Hogans and all, and this outpouring, and I think it's because of those things that Jim brought to the table that maybe some of the fans might not pick up on, but, you know, he certainly kind of solidified the fiber of the business and was kind of a big, you know, kind of motivating factor. And I think those are a lot of the reasons why maybe some of the modern day fans that maybe didn't know that much about Jim kind of maybe might not be sure why there's this kind of huge outpouring. And I think it was a lot of those kind of things that were big factors in Jim being remembered so fondly today.
Yeah, it's been quite the outpouring. I know personally he was one of my favorites growing up, and doing a lot of research getting ready for a thing I put together on Monday and the tribute show we are doing here on Sportsnet 960 this weekend. You forget how impactful he was and what a role he played, but it truly seems like he was an awesome guy. Bruce, this couldn't have been all that easy for you. Thank you very much for doing this today. I know you're with family right now in Tampa Bay. We wish you guys nothing but the best. Thank you so much for doing this today.
More than happy, and I'm to all the fans out there, thanks for your love and support. You know, down here I'm sitting right now with Jim's wife, my sister Ellie, and my other sister Georgia, and you know, kind of touched and gratified by the outpouring and the nice things that you guys are saying. And to all the fans out there, thank you for your love. It's very well received.
Well, it was well-earned on his part for sure. So again, all the best, and we will talk soon under much happier circumstances.
I'll look forward to it. Thanks very much, and God bless.
Thank you very much. That is Bruce Hart from the Hart family talking about Jim the Anvil Neidhart, who passed away earlier this week.